God bless you all this morning. Welcome to our wonderful service. And I hope that you've all had a good week. I'm sure you have. So this morning, I'd like to speak about... Is that sounding all right? Okay. Called for such a time as this. And so we're looking at the book of Esther. We'll be reading about Esther this morning. And her life. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Esther, chapter 4 and verses 13 through to 14. And it says there, and Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you have been made queen for such a time as this? And you know, we are an instrument in God's hands for such a time as this. You are an instrument in God's hands for this time of history that we live in. And you know, we cannot always see the hand of God in the midst of our own situations. And even right at this time, God is calling you and I to accomplish His work for the kingdom of God here on this earth, here in Montrose, here in Glenorchy. He wants to use us as instruments in His hand. I gave an illustration some time ago about the glove. I haven't got a glove on me. But you know, when we put a glove on, our hand goes inside that glove. And you know that the glove is really can be a picture of our own lives. And then when God puts His hand within us, when that glove moves, when the hand moves, the glove moves. And so when God's Spirit is within us, when He moves, we move, because the very life of Jesus lives within our lives. Right at this time, God is calling us. The phone's ringing, but do we answer? The Holy Spirit impresses on our heart to respond to His calling, but do we pick it up? Do we listen? God is calling, but do we choose to ignore it? And when our mobile phones ring, we're very quick to answer them, aren't we? And I'm like that. If it's ringing, then I want to know what the other person is saying, and I pick it up and I want to listen to it straight away. Are we as quick to respond when God is calling us? When He calls you and I, when we have that prompting in our spirit, we know God is speaking to us, do we ignore it or do we respond to God's call in our lives? Are we as quick to respond to God's call? But Esther responded to God's call on her life. And the story of Esther is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. It is a short story book. A short book with only 10 chapters. And it's the only book in the Bible where the name of God is not even mentioned. But the very God is in the very fabric of the life of Esther and Mordecai. And you know, the name Esther is mentioned 55 times in the Bible. More than any other woman's name is mentioned in the Bible. Esther responded to God's call on her life. The book of Esther records all the faithfulness of a young Jewish girl who was born into slavery. And you know, the Jewish people at this time were in exile. The displaced Jews were forced into exile by the Babylonians. And Esther finds herself living in a town called Susa. a crucial Persian town at the crossroads of significant military, political, cultural importance, governed by a person by the name of King Xerxes. And King Xerxes was the son of King Darius, who had Daniel thrown into the lion's den. So the history of these men towards the Jews isn't that good. And now King Xerxes, troubled with distrust of his own wife, Queen Vashti, banished her from Persia. And so the situation there was that King Xerxes, he was the king of Persia, very powerful man. And so he was having this celebration, these banquets and celebrations, and he was inviting all of his mates along to these celebrations, kings and from other nations and around. And so he wanted to show off his queen. And so he sent message to Queen Vashti and said, "You know, I want you to dress very seductively, and I want you to come, and I want you to parade yourself in front of all my mates, because I just want to show off what a great-looking queen you are." And she was the most beautiful queen, and I think she was probably the ultimate trophy wife. But you know what? Trophy wives' lives don't always end well. And her life didn't end well because she refused. She said, I refuse to parade myself in front of your mates. So the king said, "Well, in that case, I'm banishing you from being queen. I'm banishing you from the kingdom." And so that was the end of Queen Vashti. And then the king then sought a new queen from the young women of his kingdom. And this is where Esther is made to become queen of Persia and wife of King Xerxes. Now, Esther was just an ordinary Jewish girl living in a very ordinary, living possibly a very ordinary life. And I think she was quite happy just to live that ordinary life as a Jewish girl. She may not have liked the idea of being forced into marriage and into a public spotlight of the Queen of Persia. But God had a plan, God had a purpose for her life, and that was just beginning to unfold. Esther was God's instrument for that time. And have you ever felt a tug in your heart, a feeling of being pushed into very unfamiliar territory? Maybe she felt reluctant to be queen. But then there came a stirring in her heart that says something has to change. Something has to change. There came a call upon her life. There came a tug in her heart. She knew that God was calling her to something greater. The Christian walk is a faith walk. God doesn't always reveal to us his perfect will and plan. He doesn't always allow us to see the destiny that he has put in place for our lives. And God has a plan, he has a destiny for you and I. But he doesn't always reveal the final destiny in our lives as we're going through it. But he does ask us to trust him and to take that leap of faith. And we are to trust him in every step we take until we come to the end, come to that place of destiny. Very often it's not until we've reached that destiny that we look back and we can see the hand of God in that situation. Maybe you're saying, "Why has God placed me in the position that I am in right now?" Maybe you're saying that, "Why am I in this situation? Why am I in this job environment? Why am I in this school environment? Why am I in this family situation in my life?" And maybe you're saying, "Why am I in this church environment?" And maybe you're saying, "Surely I can accomplish greater things for God somewhere else, in some other place than here, where I am. Surely there's an easier place for me to be used of God. Perhaps Esther felt that same pain in her life too. She probably could not understand why God would allow her to be forced into marrying a pagan king, something that was just so much against her Jewish upbringing. To be taken away from her family, to live in a palace where she most felt more like a prisoner than a queen. But God had a plan and a purpose for Esther's life. She was divinely appointed for such a time as this. And you know, you and I have been divinely appointed by God for such a time as this. And what we're going through in our lives is not by accident or coincidence, but God is there and He has divinely appointed us. It may not feel like a divine appointment, but God's hand is upon your life. According to Persian law, the queen could not even go to the husband without prior approval. That sounds pretty good. No. And even if Esther were to attempt to walk into the presence of the king without prior approval, that she would be killed. Esther realized the price of being the queen. And we must stop to realize that God never allows anything into our lives by accident. Every circumstance we face in life is there for a greater purpose than what we can see at the moment. We can have peace and joy in our heart knowing that God holds our future in His hand. And God does hold our future, doesn't He? He holds the future within our lives. Our attitude in the midst of every circumstance is the key to our happiness. Abraham Lincoln, that great American president, said, "A man is about as happy as he makes up his mind to be." The day came when Esther's circumstances were proven to be according to God's will. She was divinely appointed for this time. You know, King Xerxes' counselors had passed a decree that all the Jews in the land of Persia were to be put to death for fear of an uprising against the king. The Pharaoh of Egypt tried to exterminate the Jewish people at the Red Sea, but he failed. God stopped him. Haman of Persia, in this instance, in Queen Esther's time, tried to destroy God's people, but through Esther, God intervened, and it never happened. Adolf Hitler and the German Republic in the Second World War tried to exterminate the Jewish nation through the concentration camps and the gas chambers, but God stopped him. And you know, the Antichrist in the last days will try to destroy the Jewish people, but Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus will stop him. But you know, the Bible says also that the enemy is against those grafted into the family of God as Christians. You and I, God's people, the enemy is there trying to tear down our lives. But the Bible says these words in John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, "My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life." And that's our promise to us, that God has promised a rich and a satisfying life for us. What a great thing that is. And Jesus is greater and bigger and more powerful than all the power of the enemy. He's greater than that. And the power of the enemy was stripped at Calvary. Anyway, and the enemy's only real power toward us is that of deception. The power of deception upon our thinking and our minds. And all the problems that we have are very often the devil will put thoughts in our minds. And if we run with those things, it will bring devastating effect upon our lives. 1 Peter 5 in chapters 8 to 9 says this: stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Now, if you're going through a difficult time in your life, you may have a family situation, you may have a work situation, you may have going through a difficult time. And you may feel that you're the only person that's going through a similar situation, but the Bible says there are people all over the world right at this point, right at this time, going through the very same things as what you're going through here today, that you may be going through in your life. You know, the church in New York City, maybe it's, a Hillsong church in New York City. Maybe people are sitting there and they're going through difficulties and problems. There may be a church in Africa where there are people there that are going through a financial, maybe they're going through difficulties with their families. They're going through a trial in their lives. Maybe exactly the same as what you're maybe going through here. The Bible tells us that what's happening in your life is happening to Christians all over the world. But on the positive side, the joys that we experience, they're experiencing also. And so God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And he's got a destiny. And there's lots of ups and downs of life, but that's what makes life interesting, isn't it? Is the good and the bad things that happen, it gives a real... We don't get bored, do we? the enemy is a deceiver and a trickster, and he tries to turn us away from God with his lies. And one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy is his mixings of truths and lies. When Jesus was in the wilderness and in the desert, Satan came to him with scripture, which was true, but he mixed that with lies. And that's what he tries to do in our lives, to get us off the track. We are purposed to succeed for such a time as this. And as we trust in Jesus, we will succeed in our lives. And Esther came to realize that God had placed her in the palace of the king of Persia for the specific time and a specific purpose. And all the hours of loneliness, separation from family and friends, questioning why God allowed this to happen, wondering why she was destined to carry such a heavy burden, was now answered by the fact that now she is being used to save her people from being exterminated. See, they wanted to exterminate the Jewish people. Haman was the one that was behind it all. Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, said that these words to Esther in chapter 4, verse 14. If you keep quiet at this time, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Very sobering thought, that, isn't it? Mordecai knew that Esther was afraid to speak, but he also knew the terrible consequences of Esther did not speak. God isn't limited by whether we obey him or not. If we don't respond to God's call in our heart, he'll raise somebody else up. But the problem is, and the tragedy is, if we don't respond to God's call in our life, we will suffer the consequences of holding back. Have you missed God's best because we don't see something through to its end? God may have spoken to you and called you to do something, but we don't see it through to the end. We miss out on God's best for our lives. When we face the difficulties, the hardships, the un, fairness of life. Let's not miss God by running away. When we stick it out, God will bring his blessing. God has placed you in your circumstances for a reason. He has called you for such a time as this. Romans 8:28 says these words, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." And I'd just like to read you an article by Christine Kane. And I was reading it the other day and it really spoke to me, and it just fits in with what I'm saying here today. And she says this: "It's time for us to get good at navigating the unexpected, to embrace and understand that through unexpected occurrences in life, both good and bad, we need to trust God, anticipating him to move in it while he moves us through it. We need to realize that he never expected us to live a boring and predictable lives, even though we work hard to create regular routines. He's called us to live a life full of joys and sorrows, battles and celebrations, success and failures, ups and downs. He wants us to learn how to live expecting to gain from the unexpected, especially as the world grows ever more chaotic and unpredictable. In our humanness, we will try to control everything, including God. Yet we serve a God who refuses to be controlled by us. That's because part of the mystery and the adventure of following Jesus is to trust him, no matter what is going on around us, to keep our hearts so open to him that when the unexpected happens, he can use it for our good. To free him to use the unexpected, the necessary catalyst to grow us, sanctify us, and help us see life with a whole new perspective. Because nothing grows without disruption and interruption, without the unexpected. If we could get this truth deeply woven into the fabric of our being, we would be far less fearful in a world that is complex and ever-changing. We could relax in knowing that we cannot expect to control the unexpected. God is in control of everything, and therefore we can expect that we will be faithful to the promises he has given us in his word. The unexpected adventure ahead of us is sure to have twists and turns that we didn't see coming, where the odds will stack up against us, but that's when God will have us right where he wants us, perfectly poised in a place to walk in faith, believing for signs, wonders, and miracles, expecting the supernatural. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we have the privilege of serving you today. And Father, we just thank you for that call of God that you have placed within our hearts and within our lives. And Father, let's just, Lord, we just pray that when he does call us and when he does tell us to do things, that Jesus, that we would just say yes to our Heavenly Father. That we would be obedient to his calling upon, just as Esther was obedient to speaking out for God, for speaking so that her people would be saved. May we have that boldness in our heart that we'd be obedient to you in the name of Jesus.